so excited to announce the hiring of Billy Donovan as head coach of Chicago Bulls. I could not stop smiling from the moment we agreed on a deal. He has built a reputation around the league as someone who values others and has a great passion for growing and developing players.
Hello, everybody. I am honored and excited to be part of the Bulls organization. I was really, really taken back by what Arturas was looking for as it relates to trying to continue to build the Bulls. And the thing that stood out to me was he wants a partner. He wants somebody to walk hand in hand with to help build things. That was really, really important to me.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
Arturas said he couldn't stop smiling, so excited. Must not be a Cubs or White Sox fan. But we do have some good news that is dropping as I speak, jumping on the air right here on 670 The Score. Pac-12's coming in, too. Not just the Big Ten. The Pac-12 is joining the party. I was just waiting to see, you know, I'm a big college football fan every single Saturday, like a lot of you, and then the mother comes in on Sunday and completely takes over, and that's all we're talking about on Monday and throughout much of the week, at least in this area of the country for the most part. But I've watched it. Like, the Notre Dame games have been on. There's been college football on my television, but I haven't been into it like most years. But, I mean, we have some killer SEC matchups next weekend. There's going to be SEC football this weekend. Big Ten around the corner. Now the Pac-12 is coming in. They're saying they're going to start on November 7th with the conference title game, December 18th. Wow. Wow. I guess I should have expected it since everybody's playing and there's cancellations, postponements every single week, but that's just how they're going to do it. Money is a very powerful thing. Welcome in. This is Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Producing tonight, we've got Mike Rankin. I'm here for the next hour. Then we've got Dolphins-Jaguars. Don't complain, Joe. Don't complain. Don't complain about Broncos-Jets next Thursday either. Don't do it. I think the following Thursday after that, it's going to be Tom Brady going up against the Bears. So that one will be fun, actually. We'll hear from Billy Donovan and Arturas Karnišovas. They spoke today. I know some of you not able to hear all of that or just heard little chunks, so we'll bring it in longer form. And then my guy Eli Hershkovich will join me at 6:40. Eli's out of his mind right now. He's always out of his mind, but even crazier. Like this morning on BetSweat, the sports betting show I do with Ross Tucker on radio.com, live 9 to 11 a.m. It's podcasted. Please subscribe to the podcast. Check it out if you're into sports betting at all, or if you're into the NFL. If you're a fan of the NFL, not necessarily a bettor, you will enjoy it. But like the guy's giving out money on Twitter today. He's giving out money. If you follow BetSweats on Twitter and we get to, 2,000 is the number, he's going to start giving out some money. So, I mean, he's nuts. We'll talk to him about that coming up at 6:40. Let's start with the Cubs. Hanging out in the office here at home all day, getting some work done and just watching the Cubs and not shocked for 1 second. But it just feels like, okay, now that's another low, right? Chad Kuhl. He's taking a no-hitter against you into the sixth inning. That's how pathetic this offense is right now. And did you think coming into this two-month regular season that you'd be really hurting if Ian Happ's not in the lineup? And all those people complaining about Chris Bryant? Well, now you don't have him. How's the offense look the last 3 days? Now he's dealing with a lower right oblique injury. My goodness. I mean, this team, after last Friday, they were 31-20. And the win total in town was set at 32.5. It looked like a lock. It might not be a lock. They said at 32 wins right now, I don't know that they're going to get another win before the regular season wraps. Good thing they're playing the White Sox the way they're playing right now. My goodness. Are you surprised? Are you? Really? What do you think about it? Like, yeah, they had a good run in the early stretch. Dominant starting pitching. Darvish has been phenomenal. But throughout much of this, back end of the bullpen, you knew that wasn't there. The same hitters that go through these long spells of not doing a damn thing, they're in this lineup. So you thought it was going to change again? Let's just roll it back again, and now it's going to change? No, this is what they've been doing. And they made the decision before the baseball season was pushed back to roll this back. So it's not like, oh, you know, it was a crazy trade deadline, only a 60-game season. No, they made this decision in spring training and in the winter to roll this entire team back. How's the value of Kyle Schwarber now? Maybe you'll get an extreme discount on Javi Baez. How many hundreds of millions do you want to pay him? You sure about that? I don't think you can say you're surprised. Because I kind of compare the Bears and the Cubs here. And I know we're talking about two Bears regular season games. And yeah, they're winning. It's nice to be atop the division. Cool. Really believe in them? Has it really changed that much? I don't really see it. All year, like, yeah, it's nice to lead the National League Central. Awesome. They're going to be the second or third seed in the MLB playoffs with 16 teams. They're going to be part of that dance. Awesome. That's nice. You wanted that. Nobody really thought they were a threat, right? With all the holes on this roster? The offense has the ability to carry you for a few weeks. Not on the north side. You can make that case on the south side. Cubs have now lost 5 of their last 6 games. And you're getting crushed by the Pirates now. Like, the opponent doesn't even matter. The level of pitching doesn't matter. They've scored 3 runs in 27 innings against Pittsburgh. These 5 games that they've lost, 5 of their last 6. 0-1-2-0-1 run. Haven't had more than 5 hits in any of those games. 3 of them had 1 extra base hit, and the other 2 they had 2 extra base hits. Those 5 losses that we've witnessed over the last week, they're averaging less than a run a game, 4 hits, and less than an extra base hit and a half. And then we're shocked that Kyle Schwarber is going through this awful spell? Yeah. He was great in the second half last year. Last 20 games, he's hitting 81. He hasn't hit a home run. He has 2 doubles. Those came in 1 game recently. So the narrative coming into this season, what we heard from Javi Baez's own mouth, was, oh, I wasn't ready to play early in games. You're not ready to play this year either, man. Like, he was pointing at Joe Maddon. When that was the easy thing to do, that's what they were doing up top, the organization. Blaming Joe Maddon. Oh, things are going to be different with Rossi. We're going to take it seriously. You can take it seriously, but Baez isn't doing a thing. He's a replacement level player. His WAR is 0.0. On the season, hitting below 200 and on base of 234. So now what are you going to do? I mean, they're not going on a run, right? Really? They're going to go on this crazy run? Sure, they can win a series or two. But come on. It's possible. But I don't think anybody could really be surprised. They ran it back with the same team. That was the plan all along. Maybe we'll figure things out with the bullpen. Okay. Coming in, you're like, okay, we have 2 starters. Yeah, we know that. Where are they going? I think if you're being honest with yourself, you figured, okay, they're going to be in the playoffs. That's fun. Winning the division is nice. But look at what the Padres have assembled now and the Dodgers, what they're going to be. I'm not predicting either of them to represent the National League, but you're going to knock both of those teams out? Yeah, good luck. Good luck. It's pathetic. just pathetic right now. Now you get the White Sox for 3 games. And speaking of the White Sox, I don't feel the same with the Sox as I do the Cubs. And my EP today, Mike Rankin, he's also the editor-in-chief at Future Sox, covers this team religiously. Mike, your team has lost 4 in a row, as you know, dropped 6 of 8. What they've done lately, especially against Cleveland here, and I get it, they're playing. They've played 3 teams in a row that could make a run in Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Minnesota. But for everyone that was saying, yeah, it's cool what the White Sox are doing, but it's against Detroit and Kansas City, 9-1 on the year against both teams. Against Detroit, they outscored them 70-28. Against the Royals, 71-40. They're giving them a lot of ammo right now by what they're not doing against some of the better teams, which will be participating in the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess that applies lately, especially. And you know what? Give them credit for taking care of the bad teams in the division. Like, you're supposed to beat up on the Royals and Tigers, which they've done.
Right.
And for a while, it was during their stretch when they were just clicking on all cylinders, they were beating good teams. And I want to take you back to the Red Series, Joe, after they clinched the postseason spot. Now, I'm not saying they're taking the foot off the gas, but something must have changed within their approach at the plate specifically, because a lot of these hitters are lost at this point. Tim Anderson's scuffling, and we've seen how consistent he's been all season long. Luis Robert's completely lost, and that's something we didn't really account for when he was on his torrid start. But also what's concerning is Yoan Moncada's complete season. We heard about the issues he dealt with related to COVID, but he hasn't been in, right? And then you got that black hole out in right field production-wise, and I'm just focusing specifically in the lineup here and the plate approaches. Recently, going back, like I said, to the Red Series, it seems like something happened within their approach. They ran into some tough pitching. We know that the Reds can pitch it a little bit. But then I was expecting a little bit more competitiveness out of this team against Cleveland this week, and we're watching it here in the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, they're competing against Zach Plesac tonight, and they did okay yesterday against Bieber. But overall, man, I'm looking at that lineup, and right now they're not putting together consistent approaches. They're not finding barrels enough.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, what's key here is, and you do give them credit for beating up on the bad teams, is these are the kinds of teams that you're going to be facing in the postseason. But it's just such a different scenario because it's more of a veteran-laden team with the Cubs, and this is what they do every year. So they obviously don't have the same upside anymore. They've kind of passed that window. But that window is just cracking for the White Sox. And listen, man, it's 60 games, and some people aren't taking it as seriously. Some baseball fans are calling this a sham of a season. This isn't even a real year. Well, if you have a trophy at the end, you're going to consider it a real season. But like, it was so much, so fast, and it looked like they were going to win the AL Central. That's still up for grabs right now as they trail the Twins by a half game. But all of what we're talking about right now, because it was going so well early on in the year, some are surprised. Like, this is completely normal. In fact, all of this happened, I think, a year earlier than most of us really expected. Ton of optimism. They were the public team in Las Vegas. People haven't been able to stop betting on the White Sox, including yours truly. But what we're seeing now is what happens with a roster like this every single year. Now, the question is, by next week, can they start to make that turn? Can you see them learning as they go through these growing pains? But I don't think we should be shocked by what's happening on the north side and what's happening on the south side. Maybe we are, because it's happening to both teams at the exact same time. It's just wow. I just hope, can we get past at least one series with these two teams? We have no idea on the opponent, which is just amazing. Just a few games left for both teams, Mike. Like, the Cubs, we don't know. They could play the Marlins, the Phillies, the Reds, the Cardinals, the White Sox. We don't know if they're going to win the division or not. The only division that's completely up for grabs So it's amazing with just three games left in the regular season. We have no idea which teams are going to be playing on Tuesday.
Yeah, and you know, the NL is such a crapshoot. You really don't necessarily look at, okay, I'm not worried about whomever the Cubs ultimately play. And you know what? When the postseason gets going, I have a little bit of faith in the Cubs despite the lack of offense, just based on their pitching staff. Call me crazy, but I'm still a believer in Kyle Hendricks. I think Yu Darvish is having enough of a year right now where I feel confident in having him go game two. And look at John Lester. I mean, the body of work, he turns it on in the postseason. He makes me very nervous, right? Very nervous. But the postseason's a whole new ballgame. And we heard Yasmani Grandal just switching over to the White Sox talk about that mentality. Mm-hmm. He's working with the young players all season long. They all have to understand that the postseason's a brand new ballgame. I want to go back real quick to what you said about the 60-game sprint. Oh, it's not a legitimate season. What about all of the randomness that comes in and the way that each organization had to prepare for this season, all of the moves, adjusting on the fly, roster construction, the 60-man. You're talking this isn't a legitimate season?
I wasn't saying that. I'm just saying how some people view it. But they're still making it up as we go along. The other week, we just found out about the locations for the playoffs. I'm like, oh, well, that kind of changes things. They're going to be playing in all these pitcher parks. I kind of feel the White Sox are at a little bit of a disadvantage as far as that goes.
It's one of those things too, again, Joe, where it's like, okay, a three-game series can just end anybody's season at this point. So, yeah, you're adjusting on the fly, but when it comes to the White Sox and their situation in the postseason, I need to see this lineup not look completely lost, because there's a lot of times I felt like over the last week where they're just trying to hit home runs instead of manufacture base runners. And I've been talking to Herb Lawrence about this in the studio consistently about the approach of the White Sox last week. It's maddening. And I don't even want to touch on the home plate umpire situation the other night, because I'm not saying that was the reason they fell against the night before the Shane Bieber start, but it had a lot to do with the outcome. Just saying.
Yeah. No, I hear you. That's executive producer Mike Rankin. Check out his work on futuresox.com. My name's Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're getting the Sox have the Tribe one more game this evening, but we've got coming up, wrapping up the season. You know, what's funny is when we got the schedule, I was like, okay, I guess that's kind of cool. Cubs, White Sox wrapping things up. Now you look at it, it's really cool. Like, I was thinking, I would prefer them to play games in the division. They might be playing, like, I would like it if it were Sox Twins. That would be awesome these last three games. But with both teams going through so many issues right now, it is going to be cool to sit down and have the ability to watch the Cubs and Sox at the same time going at it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Joe Ostrowski with you. Sports Radio 670, The Score. Earlier today, Bulls' new head coach, Billy Donovan, spoke. So did Arturis Karnišovas. We're going to hear from both of them next on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
It goes back to what Brad Stevens has, Billy Donovan has. They have this selfless way about them that they can communicate great with the modern-day NBA basketball player, communicate and motivate them, but also be a damn good teacher on the court, because one without the other just doesn't work.
Pacino on the Dan Bernstein Show. This is Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score. So earlier today, we heard from Arturis Karnišovas and brand new Bulls head coach Billy Donovan. By the way, tomorrow, Billy Donovan will be on The Score, the Mullion Haw Show, at 7 a.m. So make sure you check that out. Billy Donovan on The Score tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Let's take a listen to Arturis Karnišovas before we get to Donovan. What he had to say to the assembled media today. Here's a few minutes of Karnišovas talking about the process they went through and then eventually landing on Billy Donovan.
I wanted to thank Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf for allowing the opportunity to sign Billy. Our search for a head coach has been lengthy and comprehensive. With all of our research and background gathering, certain themes repeatedly emerge regarding Coach Donovan. The most impressive being the relationships he built with players, coaches, and execs that have worked with him over the years. He has built a reputation around the league, someone who values others and has a great passion for growing and developing players. Those who have played for Billy trust his coaching acumen and perhaps more importantly, trust him as a person. In all of my conversations and our personal meetings with Billy, two things stood out. First, he's a great communicator and clearly values his relationship with others. And second, he has the ability to inspire the enthusiasm of others to strive for a common goal. So Billy has a team first mentality that embraces collaboration and partnership with his players, staff, and front office, and is very much aligned with the culture we are working to develop. He believes deeply that it's about the journey and who we are with that matters. This is an opportunity for our organization to walk alongside a great coach who brings tremendous leadership to the table and to build a foundation for a sustainable program that both fans can be proud of.
Arturis, how soon after Billy left Oklahoma City did you contact him, and how was that process from that point on?
Well, we didn't expect him to be available, and once he became available, right away we reached out to Billy and asked, you know, if he's available to go through this process, and, you know, he agreed, and here we are.
Obviously, you had to talk roster with Billy at some point. You've had a chance to see these guys, in a limited capacity. When you talk about this roster with him, are you seeing a team that has kind of underachieved? Are you seeing a team that's at a talent deficit? Without playing your hand too much, what do you discuss with him? What did you discuss with him? And what was your kind of motive to say, hey, this is why you're a good fit with this group of guys?
Well, when we sit down and we talked about the roster, I thought that, you know, this roster is too talented to what they showed the last 2 years. That they had a lot of potential, and we kind of agreed. There's a good mix of young players and vets. And, you know, we have a lot of, you know, from picks to cap space in the future, you know, to build this team. So on both sides, I think there was a lot of optimism looking at the roster, and we spent a lot of time talking to Billy and, you know, about offense, about defense, about the way he values relationships and how he rallies, players around him and how he values relationship with players and gets a buy-in from them. So from those conversations, we were definitely on the same page and have the same mentality. So that was easy decision, to land on Billy.
Arturis Karnišovas with the media earlier today. This is Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. The sports news this hour, you may not have heard, is that the Pac-12 is now coming back. We knew about the Big Ten, but the Pac-12 is coming back with a seven-game schedule, and play will start on November 6th, championship game on December 18th. What about the head coach, Billy Donovan, who will be on 670 The Score tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.? Here's a few minutes of Donovan with the media today.
I, you know, first want to thank Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf for all their time in the time that we got a chance really to spend really good quality time together talking. It was very, very informative and have heard nothing but great things about them. I also want to thank Arturis and Mark Eversley for all their time, both in person and on the phone. That was very, very extensive, elaborate. I really enjoyed those conversations deeply. And then the other part is, you know, I also want to thank Oklahoma City. 5 years ago, they gave me an unbelievable opportunity, and I want to thank Sam Presti, I want to thank Clay Bennett. I really enjoyed my time there. The coaches I work with, the players I got the opportunity to work with, the community of Oklahoma City. I'm excited about being part of the community in Chicago. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. The other thing I just wanted to talk about a little bit was just the process for me. Arturis reached out to me, and he and I and Mark Eversley had a chance to sit down and talk. And I was really, really taken back by what Arturis was looking for as it relates to trying to continue to build the Bulls. And the thing that stood out to me was he wants a partner. He wants somebody to walk hand in hand with to help build things. That was really, really important to me. You know, I've been in a situation when I, even in college, where I took over at Florida. And, you know, before I arrived, we had, you know, two losing seasons. And my first 2 years, we had two losing seasons. But the thing that was very, very powerful to me was, you know, walking hand in hand, not only with the administration, but with the players in trying to build something. And I think Arturas and the time that we spent together in terms of his vision and what he was looking for and wanting to do it together really, really was impactful to me. I've had a chance to text a little bit with some of the players, not a lot. Obviously, we're in a difficult time with this pandemic, and I know the team is in the bubble right now. I'll get a chance to kind of communicate with them going forward. But that part's been a little bit difficult for everyone, but I'm looking forward to getting to know those guys. My feeling, you know, going forward is, you know, with Arturs, with Mark, with the Reinsdorfs, is to, you know, try to continue to build, continue to get better, and continue to improve the group. I'm excited about working with these guys, excited for, you know, what the future is going to hold. And I'm really, really excited to be working hand in hand with Arturs on a daily basis. So again, very blessed to be at Oklahoma City with such great people and great staff and great players. And I'm looking forward to the same thing in Chicago. I've heard nothing but great things. It's always been a city I've always enjoyed coming to in the NBA. It's always been a lot of fun to be there. I am really very, very much aware of the history of the Bulls organization, and I'm honored to be part of that and looking forward to getting to work and working with everybody inside the organization.
Billy, just general thoughts. I know you said you're getting to know the players and texting with them, but just your general thoughts on the roster?
Yeah, obviously, I think, you know, looking at the team, there's some really, really good quality young players. We kind of, when we were at Oklahoma City, we're in the middle of it with Kobe White, where he was going on his tear of averaging like 30 points a game. We were in the middle of that and got a firsthand taste of that. You know, Lowry is always a unique player with his skill set and his ability. You know, Zach LaVine is a guy that has got great offensive ability and can create a shot and get a shot for him. Self, I recruited Wendell Carter a little bit, you know, out of high school. So I am a little bit familiar with him when he was younger. You know, I think he's a very, very high character, talented big man. I think you look at the veterans, you know, in, you know, Thaddeus in Otto, they've got a good blend there as well. I've had a chance to pretty intimately recruit Ryan Arch. That relationship goes back a long time and always enjoyed him as well. But I think the biggest thing is trying to help the group become a team, you know, and that's not to say they were not, but, you know, getting them to play together, to play with each other. I know the last several years for them, they've had an enormous amount of injuries. They've had certainly setbacks where they've had guys in and out of rotation and playing. But I like the fact that there is a nice blend of some older guys and some younger guys and look forward to getting together and working with them.
What is your philosophy on how you build players up, develop them, and empower them, you know, things along those lines? What is your strategy or your approach when you're doing that at all your past stops?
Right. So, I mean, the first thing I'll do is watch a lot of film. I think being in the league for 5 years, even though we were on the West, you know, you're playing against Chicago twice, so you have a feel for some of those guys. But I also think, too, one of the things I've always felt like is important, like when you're building out, you know, different things offensively, is I think you've got to spend time with players to let them hear, you know, let me hear from them. How do they want to be used? You know, how do they feel like they're most effective? You know, what are things they really feel comfortable doing? How can you take advantage of their skill set and their offense? And I think you go through that with the players, you know, and talking to them and getting their opinions and their thoughts, you know, and then you kind of build out from there of how you want to play. I mean, there's things philosophically that are very, very important to me in terms of ball movement and player movement. And it always comes down to the end result. And the end result is, you know, how good a shots can you create on a nightly basis? You know, that's what you got to be able to do, is create good shots, and how you go about doing that, utilizing each guy's skill set. And then the same thing is defensively, you know, how do you build out, how you're going to guard pick and rolls, you know, how you're going to guard certain screening actions, certain movements, and you build out from there. But certainly offensively, you know, I'd want to talk to those guys, you know, about where they think they're at their best, where they think they can be most productive and effective. And then you kind of partner with them and you work with them and you build out something where there's going to be a level of sacrifice by every player. Like, every player is not going to have the chance to do everything that they want to do. But how do you mesh all those guys together to get the sum of the parts to be, you know, the whole to be better than the sum of the parts, you know, as a team. And that would be my philosophy, you know, going forward. But that would take, I think, a lot of time on my part to watch film and to spend time with the players. And now it's a little more difficult doing it in person, but certainly over the phone.
Bulls head coach Billy Donovan, he'll be on the Score tomorrow morning on the Mullion Haw Show at 7 a.m., so do not miss it. Coming up next, I got a lot to talk about. We've got Pac-12 football and basketball coming in. We've got Thursday night football to bet on, the entire week three slate in the NFL. My guy, Eli Hershkovich, you may remember him when he was at the Score for a very long time. Yeah, he's the executive producer. He works at BetSweats with me every day on radio.com sports. So we're going to go over all the sports that we're going to be betting on tonight and over the weekend. That is next. Joe O Show, 670, The Score, and the radio.com app.
Eli Hershkovich, intern, DePaul University.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670, The Score.
Very good, Mike Rankin. Can't believe that was still in the system. Here with you till 7 o'clock, because then we go to Thursday night football. The Dolphins and the Jaguars right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's welcome in Eli Hershkovich of Radio.com Sports, executive producer of BetSweats, and You Better You Bet at Eli Hershkovich on Twitter. Good memories, Eli, hearing that?
Holy crap, man. The A-team, when I entered for the Morris and you and Herb, I can't believe that that's still in the system. How is that in the system still?
I know, and we've changed systems. That did not hit the cutting room floor.
Eli Hershkovich, intern, DePaul University.
You sound so young.
That was
you're like trying to do the deep voice thing. Like,
I know, it's
Eli Hershkovich, this is not how I talk. You're doing the fake voice thing. The news of the hour, man. Now the Pac-12's joining. We didn't even see the SEC in action before. The Pac-12 says, okay, fine, but I know the lead in your world is that they announced a date for college basketball. I've been doubting you throughout, and you're like, we're going to have a college basketball season. Well, they're at least going to try it. Like, they're planning dates now.
Yeah, and I see Mark Grody just tweeted me saying, you better hide that, the East Coast accent. But let me tell you, Mark, and anybody who doesn't want to hear it, I think we're going to get an NCAA tournament, and I feel good about the college basketball season happening, man. Like you said, with the Pac-12, and it seems like all these other conferences are aligned for late November, maybe post-New Year for some of the other conferences, but, man, I'm pumped about it again. We didn't get much madness. We didn't get any of it, and I need college basketball in my life, as I tell you pretty much every day.
Well, as far as college football goes, like, there is literally no wiggle room for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Notre Dame game was postponed, set for this weekend. We've already had 21 postponements in 3 weeks. And the SEC, they're going now, and they've got some room. Like, if some, you know, they have to postpone or cancel some games, they're playing 10 games in 12 weeks. ACC, 11 games in 13 weeks. Big 12, 10 games in 13 weeks. But the Pac-12 and Big 10, Pac-12, it's 7 games in 7 weeks. Big 10, 9 games in 9 weeks. Hope it happens. Good luck. But based on what we've seen the first few weeks, I don't know how it happens.
Right. And the NFL has no positive COVID tests. I'm sure that's the case. Yeah, right. Man, I don't expect this to actually work. Maybe it does. And listen, from a betting perspective, as you know, I always like to draw it back to, I would be more than pleased if we get a full Big Ten season, a full Pac-12 season. But if you're the Pac-12 and you're seeing the Big 12 and all these other conferences play, you want in, and you want all the revenue that comes along with it. So from a revenue standpoint, from a pure collegiate athlete standpoint, it might not be safe. But again, from the revenue and from a betting perspective, I'm all in.
So Eli is the executive producer of my daily weekday show on radio.com sports. It's Bet Sweats. I say EP, but he's a voice. He's on the air throughout the entire show, too. We like to have a lot of fun. Myself and Ross Tucker, live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You subscribe to the podcast. It's usually up right around noon. Have great interviews. It's about sports betting, but even if you don't bet on sports, you're a big NFL fan, college football fan, I think you'll really enjoy it. Why did you kind of lose your mind today and decide that you're going to start giving out money to people that follow at BetSweats on Twitter?
Yeah, you know, I'm a man of the people. Like I tweeted out, like I said today on BetSweats, and I want to give people some love. They love the show. They love you and Ross together. It's a good combo. People that used to listen to You Better, You Bet, with still going on, obviously, with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on weeknights from 4 to 8 on the radio.com app and the radio.com. And I want to give the people something back. So if we get to 2,000 followers tonight on BetSweats, that is after the game, yes. There are no extensions after Jaguars and Dolphins. We can make it happen. I will give $50 to a random BetSweats follower. So go on Twitter, follow at BetSweats, and you might get a free $50 from my wallet, provided you buy Enercom and maybe Mitch Rosen as well.
All right, I will match you. Okay, I'll more than match you. I will pick two more followers, random followers, and so we'll give out $50 to three of BetSweats followers, right? Like, if you want free money, follow at BetSweats on Twitter. You find out about the guests that we're having on, see some of the video clips of me in my basement, and all the audio links and stuff like that. So I'll double it. I'll more than match you. So we'll give out $50 to three different of the BetSweats followers if you follow us tonight by the end of the game. Do you honestly think it's going to happen? Like, handicapping your thing. What do you feel?
Yeah, I think we're looking at somewhere in the plus money range.
It doesn't sound confident
right now. It's looking kind of mad. I think we're right over 1815. So we need about 175 followers, 185 followers in the next 3 or 4 hours. But hey, if you're giving away, man, another $100, I think people should go on Twitter and follow at BetSweats, please. So Joe and I could both lose some money.
I have a feeling that, we'll be using the Venmo later on tonight. At least I'm being positive about it. Okay, Thursday night football. At least that can entertain us. Maybe we'll be entertained by the game. We could see another high-scoring game like we saw last Thursday with the Browns and Bengals. I think that would be a lot of fun with Minshew and Fitzpatrick slinging it around the field. How are you betting this game?
Yeah, I'm not going to be taking a piece of the side or the total. You and Ross talked about it today on BetSweats. By the way, this line is actually moving in the direction that you discussed. I know it was a lean for you with Miami, but it's down to 2.5 right now at some bucks,
no,
a little
no.
48.5. So you're not interested anymore. Yeah. You're not taking a piece yourself.
No, it's for me to jump in on the side, and it was just a lean. It wasn't really a play for me. I would take the Dolphins, but it's got to be at least 3. I'm not jumping at 2.5.
Yeah, no, I get it. Listen, this is why people need to actually watch this game and pull up your sports book, which, of course, Illinois, thankfully, you have online wagering there. Watch the game and live bet it, because I'm sure you could find a 3 if Jacksonville at least gets the ball to midfield. You'll definitely get a 3, maybe even at plus money with a first down if you jump in at the right time. But I'm not taking a side. I'm not taking a piece of the total in this game. I'm taking a receiving yards prop. I know that's not as exciting for some people, but I'm looking at Myles Gaskin. At some books, this is pretty juiced, but the yardage total is pretty low, so you might be able to find a tick up and maybe plus money for this prop. But Myles Gaskin, over 17.5 receiving yards, the Dolphins running back. He got 80% of the snap count last week for Miami. The Jaguars really struggle with their linebackers to cover running backs, really over the past like year and mm-hmm. whatever, two games and change into this season. And I would expect Fitzpatrick to be looking his way often. We saw it again last year, specifically in that Panthers game against Christian McCaffrey. I know that's more of an anomaly, I guess, considering how good of a running back he is. But they struggle against snapbacks. Naeem Hines for Indianapolis in week one. And I would expect Gaskin to – I mean, man, I'm telling you, that is underinflated at 17.5. It's not like we're looking at 35 yards for an elite scat back or an above-average running back that's in on third downs. That is underinflated. And even with a little bit of juice, at over 17.5 receiving yards for Gaskin, I think there's value in that.
You know, I don't think that's crazy. And I talked to my prop guy, very successful NFL prop guy, and he came up with Gaskin, but he has a different prop. Now, did you say rushing or receiving?
Receiving yards.
Okay, so you're on the receiving yards. He said go over 55.5 total yards, rushing and receiving. So I don't think it's a bad play.
Yeah, no, I like that play too. Maybe you could parlay the two plays if people want to get crazy with their action tonight. Some books obviously don't allow that, but some do. Yeah, I'm all in on him. Haven't been fantasy, so if I'm not tweeting tonight past 10:30, you know why. If he has like 5 yards rushing on like 5 carries and 1 catch for 2 yards, that will be chilling with my dog, and that'll be a great place mentally tonight for sure.
With DJ Chark out, everybody's jumping on Laviska Shenault. That number of receiving yards is 42.5. It's weird. It's one of these games I'm more interested in the player props. I guess that's what I need to get excited about, Jaguars and Dolphins. But I know a lot of people are on this right now, but I'm going in with the Dolphins tight end, Mike Gesicki. It's a good matchup for him. The receiving yards is at 50.5. After 2 games, Fitzmagic has targeted him more than any other pass catcher on the Dolphins. Through 2 games, got 11 grabs, 160 yards. And with that number of 50.5, good matchup against Josh Jones, I'm going to go over 50.5 for Gesicki. He can really stretch the field.
Yeah, no, I like that play too, man. And listen, Miami might have a positive game script in this one, unlike their first couple games at New England and at home last week against Buffalo, obviously coming through with a backdoor cover for anybody that got Miami +5, +5.5, or +6, covered every single number throughout the entire week. And yeah, I like that play. Fitzpatrick is going to look his way, whether it's vertically, you know, 15, 20 yards down the field over the middle for a 5-yard hook route or something like that. He's one of Fitzpatrick's favorite targets, and Fitzpatrick really doesn't look to stretch the field that often. That's why Devontae Parker is somewhat of a popular play. I think his over under receiving yards is up maybe about 3 or 4 yards over the last 3 or 4 hours on the prop market. But I'm looking at Gesicki, and again, I like my tailback option as well for receiving yards or total yards that you mentioned a little bit ago.
This is Joe Ostrowski with Eli Hershkovich, Radio.com Sports. He's the executive producer for my show in the morning, 9 to 11 a.m. Bet Sweats for free on the Radio.com app. Subscribe to the podcast. Also, EP's You Better You Bet. Tomorrow morning, we're going to go over every game and how you should bet it, including Bears-Falcons. And I'll go over my favorite plays tomorrow morning and then also this weekend on Early Odds at 8 a.m. right here on The Score. But Eli, tell me here on Thursday afternoon or evening, before we get the final injury report, what is your best bet for Week 3 in the NFL?
Yeah, you're going to hate this. I texted it to you on Sunday. Not like we talk enough. We talk pretty much every day and maybe twice or three times a day. But I decided to text you late on Sunday night because I'm looking at the Giants. I already grabbed this at +4. It's not necessarily known if Garoppolo is going to be out just yet. I think the assumption is that Mullins is going to start for San Francisco, but their defense is banged up with Ford, Thomas, and Bosa, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, out. So I know that Giants, the future Giants offensive line that Bears fans saw in Chicago as the Bears somehow only got to that game last week, but the Giants covered the 5.5. And without that elite pass rush for San Francisco, I'm not saying Jones is going to have a ton of time, and even without one of his receivers out, and obviously Barkley done for the year, I think they can move the ball on this San Francisco defense and cover the number. And I understand that San Francisco's offense still has a ton of skill position guys that could crush a bad Giants defense. But, again, this is not the same San Francisco team that people are familiar with from last year in terms of their Super Bowl run. Even if Garoppolo somehow was able to play in this game, he's regressed and he hasn't really shown up and taken that leap in Shanahan's offense in year two, really, fully healthy. So I'm looking at the Giants +4. I think they're able to stay within a field goal in that game.
Yeah, I wonder about Shanahan, full week of prep. They probably know Mullins is going to be the guy here. It's one of those games I'm just not touching. There's a couple of games like Vikings-Titans. I'm going to stay far away from that. Like the big trend that people are talking about this week in the gambling space is you look over the past few years and these teams that have an 0-2 record, they're 0-2 ATS, they cover at a high percentage of the time when it comes to Week 3. So I don't want to go against those teams that are going in that spot. Doesn't mean I'm necessarily betting on all of them, but I don't want to go against them. Quick update, Eli. I wonder if your odds are changing, man, because now we're about 150 away from you giving away free money, and me too, tonight, for people that follow BetSweats on Twitter.
All right, then I have flipped over. We're not at plus money range anymore. We are looking at minus 150. I will weigh the juice, and I expect us to get to 2,000 followers by tonight. And if people don't want three, essentially, $50, none of your free bets, man, we are giving away $50 in stone-cold Venmo cash for anybody that wants to follow Bet Sweats on Twitter. So do it. Joel makes fun of me for every time I say it on this show on Bet Sweats tomorrow. Follow us on Twitter at Bet Sweats.
It's not pathetic at all. We've got about a minute left, Eli. Is there another game you want to throw out there, side or total in the NFL this week?
Sure. So you're going to hate me for this one, too, because you and Ross kind of crushed it earlier. But I'm gonna go with Dallas. This line I saw is up to 6 at some point.
I don't hate that.
Okay. If you're seeing Cowboys plus 6, I would grab that. I understand that the Cowboys are still banged up on the offensive line. Their secondary, a couple of their rookie cornerbacks and guys in that back four, back five are not practicing so far this week. But, man, Seattle cannot get pressure on the quarterback. I know the Seahawks secondary upgraded a little bit with Jamal Adams in the offseason, but Bruce Irvin on the injured reserve list, and they didn't get any pressure last week on Cam Newton. And it was that secondary that was able to slow down the Falcons in week one with Matt Ryan, even though they came back and scored some points in the second half and in the fourth quarter. So I think Prescott is able to have some time. We saw it earlier in the day, Mike McCarthy talking about how the Cowboys aren't going to try to slow down their offense and run it a ton. They're going to try to speed up the tempo and keep Russell Wilson off the field, which I love to hear. And this Seahawks defense is exposable. Prescott should have enough time in the pocket against that front four, front seven. And I think Dallas can stay within a field goal, or if you're able to find a plus 6, stay within a couple possessions.
That game is going to be so fun to watch. It's probably going to come down to the last possession. I don't know if either defense can stop anybody, but I can't wait to watch that game, especially with what we saw with that Cowboys offense at the very tail end. Eli, change those odds again, man. We're down to like 130 away, so get ready to Venmo some strangers some money. I'll be doing the same, all right?
All right, I did that. $50 out of my wallet. More importantly, $100 out of Joe's. Let's go.
Jesus, this is my life every day. Thanks, Eli. Appreciate it. Follow at BetSweats on Twitter. He's making me say it again and again. If you want free money, we'll be giving it out. We'll be Venmoing some people, apparently, this evening. Thank you to Mike Rankin for producing the show, and thanks for checking out the program. I'll be back on The Score on Saturday for early odds, 8 to 9 a.m., talking about the entire Week 3 NFL card with a bunch of terrific guests. And then Bet Sweats tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. for free on the Radio.com app. Subscribe to the podcast. Dolphins and Jaguars are next on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night.
I haven't heard any of that. I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
All right. Well, see you later.